In Bhajan Rahasyam, Shastiyam Sadhana, this chapter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, of course, this is, at this level, when we begin Shastiyam Sadhana, you can say that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is separating the men from the boys, so to speak, because up the first five verses of Shikshastikam are applicable to everyone. The Ajatarati Sadhaka and Ajatarati Sadhaka. The practitioner has not attained Bhav, and the practitioner who has attained Bhav, his bhajan will be very much presented here from verse 6, 7, and 8. This Nayanam Galadasha Daryavaranam Garada Riyagira. These are experiences at the level of Bhav, the beginning level of Bhav, tears in the eyes and hair standing on end, some trembling. And this is the Jatarati Sadhaka, when he chants the Maha Mantra or when he meditates on Krishna's Naam or qualities or pastimes, then he actually experiences Sattvic Bhavs, which are mentioned here. Three of them are mentioned in this verse, sixth verse of the Shikshastikam. But then, as I mentioned, the Ajatarati Sadhaka, which is, let's say, most of us or all of us, whatever, the devotee has not attained to the level of Bhava Bhakti, then he also has he gets some encouragement also, some bhajan he can do at this level. And the bhajan he does at this level is all centered around the word kada. Nayanam galadashudariya varanam gadaravriya gira pulakar nichitam vapu kada. Tavanavagrahane mishiti. Kada is a well-used word in our Gaudiya literature, especially in our bhajans. Kada means when. We say kab, or kada. Kada means when. When will this happen? This is a certain lalasamayi, a hankering for perfection, and ashabanda, hope. And these are attributes of bhava itself. But these attributes of lalasamayi and ashabanda, hope and hankering for perfection, these come even at a lower level. These are reflected. In other words, at the level of bhava, or lala samayi, siddhi lalasa, we're hankering for a particular seva. We have some familiarity with our siddhadeha at the level of bhava, and we're hankering to render that nitya seva in our seva kunj to our swamini radha. And there's prayers like that. Gita Mala by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has seven different bhajans called siddhi lalasa, and Sakhi Brinda Vigyapti. Sakhi Brinda Vigyapti by Narottam Das Thakur. This is also coming under the category of lalasa. There's three types of prayers: Sampratana, Dainya Bodhika, and Lalasa Mayi. And they're applicable to different levels of devotees. Although we may, let's say, dabble in the higher prayers to get some samskaras and some impression of the prayers from Prema Bhakti Chandrika. But many of them, of course, Narottam's prayers are prayers in his siddhadeha as Champak Mandri. He's praying as Champak Mandri to render very intimate services in the Nitya Lila, Astakali Lila of Radha and Krishna. So the Ajata Rati Sadhaka, the devotee who hasn't attained Bhav, then he prays to the Lord. He prays to Lord Chaitanya that such treasures are there in the holy name, that there's Anandam Buddhivardhanam, that Purna Amrita Swaranam, that Purna Amrita, that I'll be bathed with streams of nectar as I chant the Shudanam and enter into the Leela of the Lord. These treasures of the holy name are there. But I see that I'm so far from these things. So when I'm praying to you, I'm praying to Nam Prabhu, O Sri Nam Prabhu, I'm praying to Mahaprabhu, the distributor of Prem Nam, and I'm praying to Nam Prabhu and Gurudev, when will that time come? When will these sattvic bhavs come? When will a genuine experience come, that the mystic experience of bhakti, which is our birthright? If one is, diksha means dvija, dvija means birth, dvijanam, second birth. This mystical experience is of divine rapture, rasa, this is the birthright of the Gaudiya Vaishnav sadhak. Because, you know, we have entered this is bhav marg, this is prem marg. So prema is characterized by rasa. And rasa is full of ecstatic experiences. But kada? When? This life? Maybe. Next life? Hopefully. Next to next life? Possibly. Next to next to next life? For sure. Jarur. Definitely. Bound to happen. At any rate, so this chapter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as he meditated on this verse and presented the secrets that were revealed to him by Srupa Damodar Goswami, especially, and other well-wishers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his Shiksha Gurus, Jagannath Das Babaji. But in his privacy of his own Nam Bhajan, he revealed so many verses from Bhagavatam and other scriptures about this whole level of bhava, which we've been discussing last year and this year, how at the level of bhava, the bhava bhakta, he will chant the holy name and he will relish different verses from the Bhagavatam, which describe the beauty of Krishna. This is kind of review, chapter review, because we're at the end. At the level of bhava, the jatarati sadaka, he will chant the holy name and then he will recite different verses, like Barhapitam. This one verse describes a beautiful Krishna walking into the forest. The gopis are seeing in the Veno Gita a beautiful peacock feather on his hair and his Makara Kundala shaking on his cheeks and his beautiful yellow dhoti and his hair bouncing on his shoulders and caressing his cheeks. And this beautiful verse is there describing Krishna's beauty. It's one of the most quoted verses about the beauty of Krishna. So he'll read that verse, and this verse came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he was chanting the sixth pair of holy names, his Hari Ram. And then he's chanting this Hari Ram, and then he sees, in this Hari Ram, he sees this represents bhava, this represents Nayanam Gaurdashidharya, this represents the beauty of Krishna, this represents, and all these verses come. It's like a treasure house of nectarine verses. So we've been discussing all those verses, that when one is at the level of bhava, he'll read this verse from the Veno Gita, where the gopis are glorifying Krishna's beauty, and he'll have his tears will come to his eyes, and his hair will stand on end, and he'll feel some trembling. He'll actually feel sattvic bhavas, because it will arouse a stahi bhava in his heart. So he will have that experience. So then we as ajatarati sadhakas, we read these verses and we're chanting Hari Ram and we're praying that when will we have this bhav drishti? This was described, Bhaktivinoda says, this bhav drishti, this vision. Because one sees anything, but especially he's discussing that one sees Krishna in terms of his bhav. What is the position of our heart? How much purity is there? How much attachment is there? How much absorption is there in Krishna? So then if we're at the level of bhav, then we read this verse and then we see Krishna. We have this drishti, we see Krishna in this verse. We see his beauty, his rupam. And we chant the holy name, we experience the taste of Krishna's beauty, the ras, the ruchi. So this is, but for us, then we're reading these verses and they become these specific verses of this whole chapter. We are meant to read these verses and chant the Maha Mantra and follow the line of these commentaries, which most part is Vishnu Chakravarti's commentaries on these verses or others, and pray to these verses and just go on with our devotion that by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because these are his secrets. He's given these secrets in Bhajan Rahasyam. So if he's giving them, he's giving them for a purpose, that this is his karuna, his mercy. He wants us to come to the level of bhava. And it's a very interesting point that we have this Harinam Chintamani, which was written in, I'm not sure, maybe 1900. But this book was printed afterwards. This is a sequel, which he says, a sequel. And it appears that in Bhajan Rahasyam, because in Bhajan Rahasyam he's emphasizing Nam Bhajan, strictly emphasizing Nam Bhajan with these meditations and understanding of these different verses with the commentaries. And this Nam Bhajan will bring us to the level of bhava. This is very much emphasizing Nam Bhajan. If you read in Harinam Chintamani, the Nam Bhajan, of course, is described. It's Harinam Chintamani. But also there's a lot of discussion, a fair amount of discussion, about the role of the guru. The guru in terms of giving siddha pranali. The guru's role in giving siddha pranali. And in Bhajan Rahasyam, he doesn't mention this so much. So there's two things that can be drawn here. One is that Bhajan Rahasyam is, you can say that you have your siddha pranali, then you study Bhajan Rahasyam and go deep into your bhajan. Or the other thing is that, the other point can be thought, is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and this is one of the last books that he left, because after this he entered into his Nirjan Bhajan in Puri, Jagannath Puri. And there's only one other thing that he wrote, that's called Niyam Dasakam, or something like his something like Manashiksha. It's his summary of his 12 small sutras, like Upadeshamrita, where he kind of summarized his some points of his bhajan. So here on Bhajan Rahasyam, he doesn't say anything about siddha pranali. He says everything will come by nam, by the shikshastakam. Of course, all guru is necessary, but he's all talking about nam bhajan, because this is Bhajan Rahasyam. It's all centered on nam, shikshastakam, and understanding of these different verses, which explain the shikshastakam and help us deepen our chanting of the maha mantra. So it's a very interesting point, because this book is so much emphasized by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In all the other Gaudiya Maths, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said in Kartik month, many of the Maths, they have a whole month they spend in Astakaliya Bhajan. They sit five times a day and they study Bhajan Rahasyam, also Bhagavatam, Gajendra Moksha especially. It's mentioned, one should discuss that in Kartik. But especially Bhajan Rahasyam, which means all kinds of Bhagavatam classes on the Bhajan Rahasyam. But then they sing all the Astakaliya Bhajans. They sit five times a day and they touch the different Astayamas. Of course, there's eight Astayamas, but they do two in the morning and then two in the afternoon like this, and they touch all eight. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained that this Astakaliya Bhajan, the meditating on the eternal pastimes of the Lord and hankering to serve there in one Siddhadeya, this is our birthright, this is our bhajan. But then so we, for 1 month, Kartik month, we're absorbed in this. He engaged everybody in a temple like this in his time, and they're continuing this tradition. But this was introduced. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he very much emphasized this book as the guidebook for his entire movement for their bhajan. And the rest of the 11 months of the year, those that had adhikar, the advanced sannyasis in the Gaudiya Mission or whatever, they would continue with this bhajan rahasyam. That would be their personal bhajan, aside from their outward preaching and whatnot. And the other devotees, they would dive into it for Kartik, and then afterwards they would do their puja and do their preaching and collecting alms, whatever they did to maintain their mission. But he would withdraw everything. Everybody would be withdrawn and stay in a temple for 1 month. So it seems that there's, this is a contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is so much connected to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and we should see the importance of this book, how much important it is for us to study and chant and deeply enter into. Then he concludes this Bhajan Rahasyam, this last chapter, discussing about Leela, because he's, in his presentation of Bhajan, he said this. Each pair of holy names, there's eight pairs, right? Hari Ram, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari, like this. So there's eight verses of Shikshastakam. So there's Hari Ram, then there's Hari Ram, then Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So Ram Ram and Hari Hari. Last Hari Hari is Atul Shiva Parvatam. So this is Hari Ram, Hari Ram. So this is number six. So he says in Hari Ram, Hari Ram, you have this, what, Leela? You have this Shayankaliya Leela. This Leela, the Astakali Leela of Radha Krishna between 6 o'clock in the evening and 8:36 in the evening. Krishna's coming back from the cows. He's bathing, sometimes Pavan Sarovara. He's getting dressed. He's milking the cows. And all preparing for his dinner, having his dinner. Finds out where the Sankate, where the Milan meeting with Radha Krishna, with Radharani will be. And then Radharani's preparing. She's sending sweets to Krishna. All these pastimes are described. So the Jatarati Sadaka, he will chant Hari Ram, like Bhaktivinoda did. This is Bhaktivinoda's realization. And when he chants Hari Ram, then he'll enter into Shayan Kal. He'll enter into Shayan Leela. This is a phenomenal revelation. We can say, okay, you have that revelation. I can pray that someday I'll chant Hari Ram, Hari Ram. And that will be the key. that does that pair of mantras, Hari Ram, I'll open the door and I'll go in to see Shayan Leela. And he quotes a verse from the Govinda Leelamrita. Sayam Radham Swasakya Nijaramana Krite Preshitaneka Bojyam Sankhyani Tesha Sheshashana Mudita Vridam Tam Chatam Chabrajendum Shushnatam Ramya Vesham Griham Anujanani Lalitam Praptagoshtam Nirvyuda Shralodidoham Swagriham Anupunar Bhuktavantam Smarami. This is Krishna's coverage is saying, I remember Sri Radha, who in the evening sends many kinds of cooked foods with her sakis to her lover Sri Krishna, who becomes joyful by taking Krishna's remnants that are brought back to her by her sakis. I remember Sri Krishna who takes bath upon returning from cowherding, who is dressed in beautiful attire, and who is fondly attended in many ways by Mother Yashoda. He goes to the cowherd, goes to the cowshed, or Goshala, and after milking the cows, returns home for his evening meal. Sri Radhika Sayamkale, Krishna Lagi Pataila, Saki Haste Vivida Mishtana, Krishna Bhukta Shesha Ani, Saki Dila Sukamani, Pana Radha Hoyla Prasana, Snata Ramya Vesha Dari Yashoda Lalita Hari, Saka Saha Godohana Kari, Nana Vira Pakwa Ana, Panahaila Parasana, Smarayami Parama Adari. In the evening, Radharani sends various sweet preparations to Krishna through her sakis. After Krishna eats, a saki happily returns with Krishna's remnants and offers to Radharani, who eats Krishna's remnants with great satisfaction. Krishna is bathed and beautifully dressed by Mother Yashoda. Then Krishna and the coward boys milk the cows. Returning home, Krishna takes another meal of cooked food. I remember all these pastimes with the utmost regard and devotion. Smari Ami Parama Adar. Adar, same as Hindi, it means regard or respect. So there's a commentary here. When Sri Radha sees that the evening has come, in her heart she becomes very eager and she thinks, now Krishna must have returned from cowherding. She goes to the kitchen and dons a white dress and together with her sakis prepares all kinds of sweets, Amrit Keli, Karpura Keli, Chandrakanti, and Modaka. All the preparations are put in new clay pots and covered with white cloth. Radhika puts the pots in the hands of her Nitya Sakis and Pran Sakis. That means her Manjris, like Rati Manjri and Rupa Manjri. And she tells them to take these preparations to her Priyatam and Nanda Bhavan, and Nandagaon. The Sakis depart, and Sri Radha's mind goes with them. She thinks, and Radharani thinks, when my Sakis reach the house of Nanda, Yashoda Maya will embrace them to her heart, and she will remember me and give me her blessings. My Prananath, surrounded by Nanda Baba and the Sakas, will eat all these preparations. I do not know which ones Krishna will like and which ones he won't. In this way, with the eyes of Bhav, Sri Radha has internal darshan of the evening meal. I guess she answers her own question then. She's asking a question. I've sent these four different special sweets, Amrit Keli and Sudavilas Amrita and all these things. I've sent to Krishna. And I'm wondering which one he'll like the best. And then that's her thought or a question. And then in her own bhav, then she'll see. Leela Pravesh, she'll enter that Leela. Because even materialistic people in this world, they have these mediums, and through telepathy and medium, they can go to other places or see other things. I remember once there was someone got their bus stolen, Sankirtan bus in India, and they went to a tantric in Mathura. And when they walked in, he said, you're going to ask me about a stolen bus, right? And they said, yeah, I guess we came to the right place. So he was able to see that this is a particular power that even tantrics can develop, to see the movements of objects within this world. I don't know if it's looking in the crystal ball or whatever they do, but He informed them that bus was stolen and it was now in Haryana, being repainted for resale. So this is even a materialistic person can see distant places and what's going on there. So, and what to speak of in our Vaishnav circles, we have something called Trikalagya. Trikalagya, someone who can see past, present, and future. So Sarva Shakti Mayi Radha, Srimati Radharani, the divine potency of Krishna, the female Godhead, the predominated moiety of the predominator moiety. She can certainly see everything, everywhere, at all times. And she's wondering, I made these wonderful sweets for Krishna that only I can make. Only I know the recipe. I delegate other sakis to cook other sweets. But no, I'm known as Mishtahana. Mishtahana means sweet hands. Of course, everything is sweet about Radharani. If Vallabhacharya tells us that everything is sweet about Krishna, then we can say, thank you very much, Vallabhacharya. I appreciate your bhajan, Madharastakam. Leela Madhara, Venu Madhara, Yamuna Madhara, Shristi Madhara. Everything is Madharadi Patirakilam Madharam. Everything is sweet about the Lord of Sweetness. We appreciate your bhajan, but your angle of vision is drawn to Krishna. Our angle of vision is drawn to Swamini Radha, to Kishoriji. So we'll have to sing a bhajan and say, our Radharani is 10 times sweeter than your Krishna. So much sweeter. And she is everything more sweet. Because Krishna is so sweet, but he feels that he's sour without Radharani. Unless he has Radharani, he doesn't feel his sweetness. He can't experience sweetness. So Radharani is Mistanahana, sweet hands. Everything she touches is sweet. And everything she glances at becomes sweet. And everyone she contacts becomes sweet. And that's why Krishna is called Madhurya Purushottam, because of Radharani's sweetness. Without Radharani, he is only Leela Purushottam. And he has so many Leelas with so many devotees. But when he's with Radharani, then he's Madhurya Leela Purushottam. Madhurya Leela Purushottam, madhu, honey, sweet. So Radharani brings the sweetness out of Krishna. Because what brings the sweetness out of anyone? Everyone has a drop of sweetness, but our sweetness comes out in the presence of love. That sweetness in the heart of everyone is reserved. It is highly guarded and protected. But it can come out in the right when the right person comes, what we call the ideal man or ideal woman, which never manifests. But we dream and think about it. But when Krishna is with Radharani, he finds the ideal person. There's no one more perfect than Radharani, Aradhanam, Radha. So with Radha, then whatever sweetness Krishna has comes out of his heart. And it just increases infinitely. And that's explained by Krishna's Kaviraj Nadi Leela Chapter 4, how much Radharani draws the sweetness out of Krishna. Krishna's Krishna. Krishna means draw. He can draw, he can pull. The word Krishna means Sankarshan, Karshati. Drawing power, magnetic power, pulling power, drawing power. This kind of thing. But Radharani's name is Krishna. Krishna's name is Sham. Radharani's name is Shama. Krishna's name is Kishore. Radharani's name is Kishori. So Radharani, her power is Krishna. She can draw so much sweetness out of Krishna's heart. She draws all the sweetness out of Krishna's heart because her ability to love Krishna is greater than any other devotee. And that's what we're looking for ourselves. We have some sweetness in our heart, but we've never found anyone to draw it out. We've never found a true person, a person with true love, to draw the sweetness out of our heart. So this is why when Krishna is with Radharani, he becomes Madhurya Leela Purushottam, because Radharani can pull all the madhurya, all the sweetness out of Krishna's heart. Therefore, if we were ever to sing a song about Madhurastakam, Radharani Madhurastakam, Madhuryastakam, the Madhurastakam and Madhuryastakam, it would be so much better bhajan than Vallabhacharya's. Because Radharani has the greatest sweetness. So Miss Tahana, when she makes these sweets, Amrit Keli, Keli, this is a Keli. Keli means Rati Keli. Because there's Amrit Keli, Karpura Keli, Chandrakanti, and Modak. Modaka is like a sugar candy. It's a type of candy, Modaka. It's made with looks like mystery type of thing. It's like a crystal candy type. And these two, Chandrakanti and Modaka, these are eaten in the evening time. He'll eat these. But Karpura Keli and Amrit Keli, these are saved. These sweets are eaten during Rasalila and Sirvilas Amrit. There's five different sweets Radharani makes, and they're called Keli. Amrit Keli, Karpura Keli. Karpura means camphor. There's some camphor inside. And Amrit means nectar. But Keli means Lila, means pastimes. So Rati Keli means the intimate pastimes that Krishna shares only with Radharani. So only Radharani can bring Krishna the happiness of these intimate exchanges and amorous love. And these sweets are relished at that time. Because one sometimes gets somewhat fatigued and hungry in certain situations. So Amrit Keli and Karpura Keli, they have the flavor of intimate love, like camphor, the flavor. And they have the sweetness of intimate love, Amrit. So it's Amrit Keli and Karpura Keli. So she's wondering, this is very interesting, she's wondering which one will he eat or which one is he relishing? And she knows that in front of his mother and father, of course his mother, see there in evening time when Krishna eats his evening meal, it's a little more sober than ordinarily because the boys, not all the boys are there, only a few boys are there eating and all of his uncles are there, Upananda, Sunanda, Abhinanda, Ananda. In the morning time, they're busy taking care of organizing the day and organizing the cows. So it's mostly lots of coward boys who come in for the morning bhojan and nandagan. And Madhumangal's in a funny mood. It's the beginning of the day. So everyone's laughing and joking, and he's going like, tonk, tonk. Madhumangal's making these sounds, Haribola Deya, and this and that, getting ladus. But it's a little bit sober at night. So Krishna, he only eats Chandrakanti and Modaka, the two sweets of Radharani. So she's thinking, well, how is he enjoying? What's he thinking of these sweets? And then she waits some time. The Nitya Sakhis, Pran Sakhis have carried the sweets Krishna's taking. Then she closes her eyes and she meditates on Krishna's Leela. Krishna's Bhojan Leela Nandagaon. Radharani's doing Smaran, Leela Smaran. Right? Imagine the quality of Radharani's Leela Smaran. Just like in the Gopi Gita, Gopis are doing so much Leela Smaran, they become Krishna. In the Gopi Gita and the Bhagavatam, it says, look, I am Krishna. See how I dance? I am Krishna. You rascal Kali, get out from here. They actually become so much absorbed in Leela that they become Tanmoy with Krishna. So Radharani meditates on Krishna's evening meal, his Shayan Bhojan and Nandagan. Then she sees, oh, he's eating this. Like in the morning, she has Sakshat Darshan of Krishna's Bhojan Leela from the kitchen. And then Krishna does funny pranks, as you know. Krishna eats some very nice preparation Radharani made, some sweet. And then he looks out of the corner of his eye, very surreptitiously, very stealthily, and then thinking or hoping that Radharani doesn't see. And maybe she doesn't. She doesn't actually see. So then he has a plan to increase the rasa. So Radharani's looking through from the kitchen, looking at Krishna, how is he liking this preparation, this sweet I gave? So Krishna takes a sweet and he takes it. He makes his face like, oh my God, this is, I thought it was a rasgulla, but it's filled with lemon juice. It looks like a gulabjamun, but instead of having sugar juice, it's all lemon juice. Can you imagine? It looks a brown gulabjamun and it's all, oh, it's so juicy. Oh no, it's lemon juice. He said, oh, what's this? Oh my God. So then he made all his faces, and then he put it on the plate of Sridham, his Radharani's brother, older brother. And Radharani's, oh my God, what did I do? Did I soak it in lemon juice? I dropped the gulabjamun in lemon juice instead of sugar water, sugar juice. Oh, what has happened? Why has he made this face? Then Subal, thinking, oh, what a stroke of mercy of Krishna's prasad, his remnants. So then he took it and he put it in his mouth. And his eye, his eyes lit up, and he was smiling. And then Radharani looked, and she saw Sridham. She, oh, this Krishna, he's just joking with me, And then Krishna looked over at the kitchen, and then he smiled and had this exchange. So this kind of intimate exchange, directly Radharani seeing Krishna's response to her cooking in the morning time, but in the evening time she's stuck up in her mother-in-law's house, and she's just sending in a tiffin. So she has to meditate. Oh, now it's time for Krishna's evening meal. Now he's taking this sweet. So now this is the sum and substance of Bhav Bhajan. But this is the, all Raghunuga Bhaktas, this is a big part of their bhajan, to do Leela Smaran. So you see, even Radharani is setting the example of Leela Smaran. She's sitting in one place, thinking of Krishna in another place. Right? She's sitting in Yavat, or Barsana, depends on the time of the year. And she's thinking of Krishna in another place. Krishna's not beside her, Krishna's in Nandagaon, at a particular time of the day, Astakalya, or Astayam. And it's Shayankal, it's 7:30 in the evening. And she's thinking, what is he doing? Well, he's taking his evening meal. Maybe, I don't think she has Govinda Lilamrita in front of her. And she doesn't have Krishna Bhavanamrita or Krishna Kumudi or one of these books. But she's in it. she's in the Leela. So she just thinks, oh, first she thinks of Nandagaon, first she thinks of the dining room, she thinks of the setting, she thinks of all these things. And she thinks of her preparations, she thinks of the mandris, Rupa Mandri, Rati Mandri. And what do we do when we do Leela Smaran? What do we do? We do the same thing. Now what time is it? Oh, it's this time of the day. And where is Krishna? And who is... What time of the day is it? Where is Krishna? What is he doing? Who is he with? Where is he? What time of the day is? Where is he? Who is he with? What is he doing? Then what are the exchanges? And what kind of rasas are going on here? What kind of bhavas are being exchanged? And what is the medium of exchange? And how does he feel? And then all these things. And through the eyes of Shastra and through the eyes of bhajan and through the eyes of our devotion, we can enter into the pastimes slowly. And the name, of course, Shudanam will carry us there automatically. But the endeavor of the Raghunuga Sadaka is his desire to take part in Leela, his desire to actually serve in the Leela. This is the Smaran, this is the meditation. Entering Leela begins, there's five types of Smaran. The one is just momentary remembrance, time to time remembering. That's called Smaran, occasional Smaran. But finally it comes Samadhi. But Samadhi comes with Shudanam. But Smaran begins even with Namaparad. Namaparad begins Smaran. You have to start somewhere. There's Smaran, then there's Anusmaran, Dhyanam. It goes different levels, different lengths of time. We can stay with the Leela. It's not that we do nothing. We have no contact with Leela. We never approach Leela. We never remember Leela. We just chant and serve and chant and serve. And somehow, someday, Shudanam descends upon us, and Shudanam brings everything with it. As Shudanam is Namru Gun Leela Vishishta Parishishta, everything is there. So this is the sadhan, Smaran, Smarana Bhajan. So if one is actually wants to endeavor on the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, it begins with greed and taste to follow the residents of Vrindavan, but it also there's greed and taste to be in Vrindavan mentally. Physically, it doesn't mean much. Mentally means everything. Shiva Goswami says, if you're here, then be an anugatya of a Vaishnava and be remembering the Lord's pastimes. If you're outside of Vrindavan, then be there in the mind. So the whole thing is, as I often say, is that the point is not to be in Vrindavan, but to have Vrindavan in us. This is the actual point. Vrindavan should be in us, wherever we are. If we're in Vrindavan, Vrindavan should be in us. If we're outside of Vrindavan, Vrindavan should be in us. This is the actual point. Which that's what Advaitacharya was speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when there was kind of a transcendental trick to bring him to Shantipur from Navadvip. And he got in a boat and he saw, wait a minute, what is this? Yamuna, Ganga, where am I? How is Advaitacharya is there? I thought I was going to Vrindavan. This is not Vrindavan, this is the Ganga. And then they said, Moramani Habe Vrindavanam. They said, Moramani, that you're... It said, your mind, Mahaprabhu, your mind is Vrindavan. Your mind is always in Vrindavan. So, okay, it's Shantipur. We tricked you, Nityananda. You know, we tricked you. We told you we're taking to Vrindavan, and we tricked you and took you to Shantipur. That's our love. We just can't bear to miss you or leave you. But nevertheless, that is the fact, that although he was tricked and his transcendental form was brought to Shantipur, his mind is in Vrindavan. Krishna Kahan, Krishna Kahan. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Can you show me my Krishna? Is Krishna here? Can you show me? He was asking everyone. So he was searching in this mood, searching for Krishna. So this is the one point about the practice that we have to do. And this whole, what a Bhava Bhakta will do, if he's chanting this, the Maha Mantra, and then when he chants his Hari Ram, Hari Ram, he will, this will unleash a remembrance of Shayan Leela, and he will enter, because he has some adhikar to experience the feelings, the transcendental feelings, to some extent, of the eternal associates of the Lord which he, whom he's following in his Siddhadeya. And then he'll read about these pastimes, and he'll experience what Radharani's thinking, and what Krishna's response is when he eats these different sweets. And it'll actually, those feelings will come, the rasas will come in him, because he has the adhikar to experience rasa at the level of bhav, the jatarati sadhaka. But for us, we'll read this pastime, and we'll try to capture it, and we'll try to pray, and try to understand something about it, and it will create some coding in the heart, some impression. It will create impressions, impressions upon impressions upon impressions. And along with impressions comes purity, and along with purity comes attachment. And along with attachment to Krishna and Krishna's Leela comes advancement. Then our name improves the quality of our chanting of the Nam, and we start to move closer to the Bhava which we are seeking, which we're questing to come to the level of Bhava. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving this also, he's giving this whole book, the entirety of this book is being given for those at the level of Bhava and those not at the level of Bhava. So it's not, okay, you're at the level of Bhava, you read this Leelas of Krishna, Govinda Leelamrita, which this is only the kind of summary of, this is one verse, it's called the summary of the chapter summary, which is the way, this is verse 1 from verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 1, which is the summary verse of the whole chapter, gives kind of the basic, but then the chapter unfolds and develops all the specifics of the Leela. So when we who are not at the level of Bhava, we will also read this pastime if we have some taste. And that's one of the main requirements in Rag, that there's some taste. And then we will not experience the rasas of this Leela, but we will experience this Leela as submissive aspirants. We're aspiring to serve in these eternal pastimes of the Lord, and we're aspiring to attain that required bhavas and that required prema to have the eligibility to enter into these Leelas and to be a suitable, qualified servant. Because that's the whole idea of attaining prema, as we become a qualified servant. Now we're not qualified. How are we qualified if Radha and Krishna were to come and say, all right, come to Yavat now and do seva. We couldn't relate. We couldn't see. We're blind. We can't see properly. We don't have the bhav. We don't have the taste, the attachment. And we'd make so many mistakes also, drop things and this and that. practical problem. And we wouldn't. And she would say, oh, help me make this preparation, or give this thing, give that thing. So we're lacking that bhav. So we're ajata rati sadhakas. Ajata means ajanma. It's not born. The bhava, the rati or bhava is not born. But how does it take? How will it be born? This is a question. How will it be born? Then bhava, it comes from the bhava bhaktas, by hearing from the acharyas, by hearing from the living saints, the rasika vaishnavas. Their bhava will come in their harikata. And although that's the easy way, the easier way to attain bhava is to continually associate with rasika bhavubhukas, advanced Vaishnavas, and hear harikata. That's the easy way. The more difficult way, because they make the living, the sadhu that's living and appearing before us, he makes the path of surrender easier. He makes the path of faith softer to walk on. But if we read the commentaries of the rasika Vaishnavas and the Bhagavatam, we can also come to bhava. There's so many explanations by that, just by hearing rasic literature, one can also attain bhav. But that's a more difficult path, because the shastras don't speak to us, they don't crack us, they don't pat us on the head, they don't encourage, they don't so easily encourage us as a living sadhu. And they're a little harder to catch the mercy from the shastras. You really have to surrender, you really have to be attentive, and you really have to have faith in the shastras. It's easier to have faith in a living person than in a book, generally. But the books are fully capable, these rasa shastras are fully capable of bringing us to the level of bhava. But that's the more rare way to go. Just That's why everywhere you hear every saint, everywhere every saint will tell you, you must hear Hari Katha from a living sadhu. Even Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, he was asked this question. They said, why can't we just read the Rasa Shastras and deeply study them in the commentaries and try to understand them with our best surrender and logic and sincere attempt? And he says that, and he said, his answer was that that's well and good, that's advised, but there's something lacking there. He says, the Shastras will not speak to you directly. The Guru will speak to you directly, and the Shastras cannot have a conversation with you. I mean, you can imagine they're speaking to you. They're just speaking what they're speaking. But the spiritual master or the Guru, the Bhajan Shiksha Guru, he can have discussion with you and say, what are you doing? How are you doing? How are you feeling? What are you realizing? And then he can give you suggestions, and he can actually coach you or counsel you or direct you in a more specific way. So he was saying that, of course, both are required, but he was emphasizing the point to be with under the anugatya, under guidance of a superior, living, tangible Vaishnava. So much essential. And everywhere, whatever we've seen in the Vaishnava history, that no one ever became siddha, no one ever became siddha or perfect in the Vaishnava school, or at least in Gaudiya Vaishnava school, without being anugatya, under the guidance of a superior Vaishnava. It's not like in the West, in the Western worlds, the self-made man. You get a book on how to be a plumber or something like that, or how computer programming for fools or something, and you read that book 100 times and stand on your head and read it and run around the block and read it, and finally you end up opening a university to train up people, whatever, you become a master computer expert or something. You start a new Microsoft company or something. They have stories like this, the self-made man, but because devotion, bhakti, it comes from the devotee. Bhakti is a descending, bhakti is not produced in this material world. It's not produced by our material effort. It's a gift. It's awarded. It's given. Nityasthita bhavasya. That bhakti comes to us. It comes through the guardians. The shastras can give, but the Lord has always sent his living representatives to distribute bhakti. It's a very living, tangible, breathing quality. Bhakti is as alive as Krishna, as alive as God. So shastras give the direction and give the, let's say, embellishment, but the actual life of devotion, the very living principle of devotion, comes from a living Vaishnava. That's what I've understood, and that's what I've heard from my well-wishers. So I'll just finish this report in 2 minutes, and this is almost finished, because this is, it's just about this Leela Shayankal, which we're practically falling into in terms of now time. I don't know which ones that Krishna will like and which ones he won't. Then with the eyes of Bhav, she has internal darshan of the evening meal. The Sakis offer all the preparations to Yashoda, the queen of Braj, who affectionately serves unto Krishna, Balaram, and the other Sakas. Cleverly, Dhanishta Sakhi places Sri Krishna's remnants in the hands of a Sakhi and sends them back to Yavat, to Radha, with information about the location of their meeting place later that night. At that time, Sri Radha anxiously awaits the Sakhi's return from Nanda Bhavan. When they arrive, they describe all the conversations at Nanda Bhavan and how Krishna relished each preparation. Sri Radha relishes Krishna's remnants in the same way. The Sakhis are also extremely happy to take the remnants of Sri Krishna and Sri Radha. So this English translation of the Sanskrit description of Leela is very nicely presented. And one will be able to perceive this Bhav Drishti, different things here according to his level of advancement. And that's the whole thing with Rasa Shastra. When a less advanced devotee reads Rasa-filled Shastra, then he gets some whitewash on his heart. Something comes, some coloring comes. But when an advanced devotee, in other words, his heart starts to change some things. Like if I have a wall and I put some whitewash on it, I mean, it's some limestone mixed in water. So it's a thin white covering. And then someone says, oh, they put whitewash on this wall. Something's changed, something different. This wall has whitewash on it. Then once it has whitewash, which is the undercoat, it's called undercoat, Then it may be painted blue, it may be painted green, any color, we don't know. Then you come back next day, oh, they're painting it blue, whatever. So this, the less advanced devotee, reading Rasa Shastra is like a rasa whitewash. We're getting some change of color, because this word rag means color. So we're trying to recolor our hearts, change the color of our hearts. And this is the whole idea of Raghunuga Sadhana, change the color of our hearts. So this whitewashing comes. But for the advanced devotee, when he reads this, like we read this sentence, that at that time, Sri Radha anxiously awaits the Sakhi's return from Nanda Bhavan. So I read it, okay, Radharani anxiously awaits for Krishna. Now, for the Bhava Bhakta, one at the level of Bhav, then when he reads this, he anxious, this utkantita Bhav, he starts thinking of, because he's at level above, so many tattvas are just, he's realized so many tattvas, and he understands so many things about prema and rasa tattva. And moreover, he's identifying so much as Radharani's Palyadasi, that anxious, what anxious, how anxious, and what does Radharani's face look like? You know, anxious, and we have some idea of material anxiety, but what are her eyes doing? And then, there's all these different bhavas. There's Kila Kinchit Bhav, and there's Vasachik Bhav, and the Bhav of a heroine or a beloved waiting to meet her beloved. And then there's different symptom expressions of those symptoms, how her eyes move, or how her lips may quiver, or how she trembles, or different symptoms. So these are described in Ujjvala Nilamani and other Rasa Shastras. So the Bhava Bhakta, whether he'll either know all these different nuances and technicalities of rasa, or because he's at the level of bhava and identifying, in his smaran, in his bhajan, he'll see Radharani's face, and it's, she's anxious, she's waiting for Krishna's remnants, find out the meeting place. That's it, okay, nice. But the Bhava Bhakta, when he reads so much from this one scene, that he'll go on chanting the Maha Mantra for hours, just meditating on what is Radharani's face? What is she feeling in her heart that moment, those moments of anxiety, waiting to find out the news? Where is she going to meet Krishna? She's thinking, will it be here? Will it be there? And so much bhava and so much feelings are flowing through her mind and heart. And the advanced devotees, they will experience these. So that's what happens when you hear Harikatha from an advanced devotee. All of these experiences he's having at the same time are coming in his content of his speech. So for the normal devotee, he hears it, and it's very sweet and relishable. And for the advanced devotee, when he hears from his guru, his Rasik Vaishnava, then it touches his heart, then he may even cry or whatever. Because you see, if you sit in an assembly of very advanced devotees, and you're like the odd man out, be a little attentive. And then you look around a little bit like this, or maybe you're taking pictures of the devotees, and you may come in the front. Then you notice, oh, there's this one lady, God, she's crying. She's like, she's just totally transfixed on the Guruji's, Gurudev's speaking. And she's sitting there like absolutely still, almost as if she's stunned. And then there's some tears coming down her face. And even then when the Gurudev speaks, he says, actually, many things I'm saying are be over, many of the devotees, they won't, what I'm saying will be over your heads. You won't be able to comprehend it. But I hope that there are a few devotees in the audience who will be able to appreciate what I'm saying. The idea is that this is the experience of hearing from advanced devotees. That's the difference between reading the books on our own and hearing from advanced devotees. Because reading books, the books will present the lila, but it's only words. It's only words, and it's how advanced you are, how those words will impress upon your heart and mind, and how you will transform and transcend and enter into the pictures and meanings and bhavas of those words. But when you sit with the devotee who's speaking, the advanced devotee, then you have his everything. You have his man, tan, dan. You have his every, you have his body, mind. You have his wealth. His dan is his wealth. His wealth is his devotional attainment. His man is his mind. Man, tan is his body, tanu. His body is there. His body, you see, what body is there? You're seeing his sadhaka roop, his guru roop. But he may be speaking through his guru roop. He may be speaking through his siddha roop. So he's speaking. Even sometimes there's stories of some Guruji is speaking and then a different voice comes. He's speaking in a different voice, very high-pitched voice, usually in a private setting. And then the voice is saying, what was that voice I heard? He said, what are you talking about? I heard some very high voice. Oh, maybe that was my Manjari voice or whatever. These things go on. I'm just, you know, in the Vaishnava Sangha. So that Guruji's, but this would be a very rare thing, and usually this would be a hidden thing by the Guru. But he's speaking, so he's speaking about the Leelas of Radha and Krishna, like this Leela. But he maybe starts speaking, and as he's reading and speaking, or not reading, but just speaking about the Leela, then he enters the Leela, unknown study. You just see, oh, he's sitting. I'm sitting here in Vrindavan, the Mathura, with my Guru. He's sitting here. But he's just, through this Leela, the Leela's just taken him. It's like you go stand by a river, and you're standing with a friend, say, see, this is the river Ganga. Then somebody pushes you, and then you're in the river. Oh, yeah, this is the river Ganga. And you're still telling your friend, you're speaking to your friend on the bank, but now you're floating down the river, and he's running along the side of the bank. Yeah, oh yeah, I know it's River Ganga. How is it? Yeah, oh, it's very wet, it's nice. So he's speaking Hari Katha, and then he falls into the river, that Leela Katha. And then he's flowing in that river. He's experiencing that river. And he's wet. River means wet, rasa, water, liquid. And he's feeling that Leela Ras. And it's taking over. And then he's speaking. So now, when you're hearing that Leela Katha from the Guru, all of his experience, he's actually speaking through his Siddhadeya, through his Manjari Sarup. And so when he's speaking, all of his bhavas, all of that relish, all that rasa is coming in his words, his shabda, and his spiritual vibration. And that's coming in the heart. That's the difference between a book and a living devotee. I'm trying to somehow give you a graphic explanation. From my own experience, I've experienced this phenomenon. That you read books day and night till your head falls off. Your eyeballs pop out. But then when you sit with an advanced devotee, it's like, wow, what's going on here? I'm flying, you know, I'm going, you know, somewhere. He's taking me somewhere. He's sharing. This is the karuna. You know, Radharani's karuna mayi, and then Radharani's bhaktas are walking around this world. There's so much karuna mayi. And they're so sober, and they're so grave. And they don't... Oh, Gurudev, that was a very nice lecture, they say. He said, oh, okay, Krishna's mercy and Guru Kripa. He says they're quiet. They don't let on all what's happening. That's their own private ecstasies. The speaker is relishing. We say the speaker is getting purified by Harikatha, and the listener is getting purified by Harikatha. This is, everyone's heard. This is in the first canto of Bhagavatam. But okay, that's pavitram. That's one level, pavitram. But okay, once you're pavitram, then what happens? Then there's lilatam, right? Lilatam and rasatam. So pavitram in the beginning is purification. Kam krodh lobh moha matsarya chordya sab chaita darvana marjan. Harikatha. But then when an advanced devotee, then the advanced guru is speaking, then what's happening, the guru is relishing the Leela Katha, and the disciple is relishing the Leela Katha. Mat chitta mat katha pranas bodhayantas prasparam katayantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha tushti and pushti raman. The speaker, the guru, or Vaishnava, whomever, they're relishing the Harikatha themselves, they're relishing the ras. And then the listener is relishing. That's the dynamics of the Vaishnava Sabha, of the hearing, the live Harikatha. There's a special dynamics. See, this paper is dry. Something dry, the shukshma. But when the Harikatha is full of ras, is wet, so this living katha, because so many people, everyone's heard these arguments, and I just can't buy it, and it's so much bogus. I've heard these arguments over the years. You just need tapes, you just need books. You hear this so many times, different quarters. All you need is the tapes, lecture tapes, and books. This is helpful. I mean, if we have no fortune to be with advanced devotees and hear from them, then that's a second best opportunity. I'll close and then have a question or so. Yes? The devotee's question, is there any ras in the basic class of jiva tattva or nam tattva? And of course, Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, he used to say that they only want to speak in the 10th canto because this is rasa tattva. They don't want to speak on Kurukshetra. They don't want to speak on Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita is also full of ras. And the basic gyan, I mean, the thing is, If the guru is only a kanishta, well, I guess he wouldn't really be guru, but say he's a madhyam, he can be guru at madhyam level of some type of guru, one can function. And he's just giving bhakti gyan. There may not be so much ras, but because our whole, because ours is bhakti gyan, at least if you're speaking about Gaudiya Siddhanta or Gaudiya Arsambandha in our circle. So everything is, this word is there. There's gyan, like you use the word gyan, and it's called gyan, but it's actually prefaced with bhakti gyan. We're not interested so much in gyan, which we talk about dry philosophy, this term you've heard, dry philosophy or dry mental speculation. Or in the term in Chaitanya Charitamrita, shukshma gyan. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was using this term. I was so much studying shukshma gyan, dry logic and dry gyan. If there's shukshma gyan, then if there's dry knowledge, there must be wet knowledge. Right, wet knowledge. So the bhakti gyan, which our gurujis are giving us, bhakti gyan is wet knowledge, because bhakti means there's some ras there. That bhakti gyan is wet. Wet knowledge. Because bhakti means ras. Bhakti ras. We hear bhakti rasamrita sindhu. So even the jiva, when we talk about the jiva and jiva tapa, non tapa, then that's what we call bhakti gyan or Krishna sambandha gyan or whatever. But it's not just gyan, it's bhakti gyan. Because wherever there's Krishna, then wherever there's Krishna, then you have ras, because he's rasaraj. If the devotee himself is relishing ras at some level, even if it's rasa, I mean, it's not rasa basa from a different term, but it's a semblance of ras. Because some ras, you know, every level there's, just for example, if you're at the level of nishta, then there's some ruchi coming there. It's called ruchi abhas, a semblance of ruchi, but not the true form of ruchi, even at nishta. Otherwise, you can't have any nishta without ruchi. So the more advanced devotee who speaks, even on what we call, what you said, the basics, then the more advanced he is, the more ras he's experiencing, so the more ras he will deliver through his discourse on the basics. And that's what we're relishing in his, he's delivering the same old stuff, but because he's a very advanced devotee, the same old stuff is getting coated with ras and feels so good, sounds so good, and it tastes so good, and it catches our hearts so nicely. Like you read so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita and so many translations. I've read many myself before I got Swami Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada's Gita. And they were Bhagavad Gita, but there was something missing. They were dry. They were dry Bhagavad Gitas. And then maybe there's more rasa Bhagavad Gita, you know, Vishnu's commentaries this is the same old Bhagavad Gita, which is not so same old. And then you look at Vishwanath and he opens up all these conversations and Krishna's saying this to Arjuna and Arjuna's saying, then, oh, it's like a whole interesting inner dialogue. And there's this, it's not just this philosophy and question and answer session with the professor and the student, but it's all these mental heart dilemmas and emotional breakdowns and patching up and crying and laughing and so many sweet, so much ras here in this Bhakti Gyana Bhagavad Gita, which Rasacharya Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur brings out. If you must have read his commentaries, it really adds a whole new flavor to the Bhagavad Gita. Because if you just go through the Bhagavad Gita and only read the commentaries of Vishnu Chakravarti, it's this beautiful drama and this so much emotional exchange and it's wonderful. And it's all about Tahino Shvinyatade Komaram Yomanam Jaratatade Hantara Praptir Dhirastatanamuyati. As the living entity continually passes in this body from boy to youth to old age, similarly passing into another body of death, and the self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Okay, we've all heard this 3 million times. Of course, we probably haven't realized it, or at least I haven't. But when you read Vishnu's commentaries, and then, it's a whole new, it's a flavor, isn't it? We say a flavor. So definitely, this is a movement full of ras. So thank you very much, and see everyone tomorrow.